Hello, welcome to Off the Clock, KBIA's occasional look into arts and culture in Mid-Missouri. How many of us went through adolescence feeling peculiar? Can you make poetry out of that feeling? Catherine Pierce is a poet and University of Missouri alum who has published two books of poetry and recently visited MU for a poetry reading. KBIA's Bridget Balgen asked Pierce about her latest book, The Girls of Peculiar.
Why The Girls of Peculiar? Can you talk about the title?
Yeah. It's from a poem called A Short Biography of the American People by City. And that line seemed to get at the heart of the book in a lot of ways. A lot of the poems do have to do with girls of different ages, women, and boys are in the book too, but there are a lot of girls. And a lot of the girls in the book, I think, maybe would have been labeled as peculiar or are peculiar when it gets down to what's happening in their minds, but is a little different from what they're presenting to the world. That idea, what does it mean to be peculiar? What does it mean to remember ourselves as peculiar or to see ourselves through a certain lens? And what does it mean to be viewed by somebody else a certain way? That was kind of what I was trying to get at with the title.
There's a common tie among many of the poems that's looking into the past or into the future, talking about hopes or regrets. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. There's an idea that I've always been kind of fascinated by. I like to play this game with myself where I pretend that I can go back and talk to some earlier version of myself and give her advice or say, you know, you're not going to believe this, but guess where you live now? Or guess what you're doing? Or you have a kid, you know, or things like that. And so I decided to write some poems that explore that idea. Some of them do it very directly. There are postcard poems in the book. So there's postcards from her future self, postcards from her alternate lives. And those are the poems, I think, that most directly address that idea of, is there regret? Are you looking back? How do you deal with this?
One of my favorite poems was actually Postcard from Her Future Self.
Oh,
could you talk about that one a little bit?
Yes. I wanted it to be sort of almost like a maternal or an older sister voice speaking to this younger version. I want it to be a kind poem, not a scolding poem. Postcards from Her Future Self. 1. Trust me when I tell you to take that trip to Aspen. 2. You will find yourself in an aviary. Though you hate the bird's gray spindle legs, hold yourself together. Wait until the kestrel looks at you. That moment will allow you the flying dreams you long for. 3. The man in the awful orange tie. Notice his right eye. When it twitches, he is about to shriek like a caught cat. Leave the Indian restaurant before this happens. Otherwise, you will see him down dark alleys for years. Though if you stick around, the waitress will bring a free lassi. 4. 600 thread count sheets are worth it. Though you cringe now, someday you'll think so. Don't leave the full cart in the middle of the aisle. It isn't the act of liberation you believe it to be. 5. Your first haircut after your divorce will be disastrous. 6. Unless you learn to love the railroad watch he gives you. Unless you come to choose Cooperstown over Glens Falls. Unless you stop worrying the bananas Foster will rot your molars. In which case, there will be no disastrous haircut. 7. Remember Rocco, the small white dog of your adolescence. This is not a question, but an imperative. Remember him. His yapping deafness, his matted mutt fur. You loved him, though not deeply. Once, you walked him at dusk, and he barked at a mailbox. Take care to remember your least important days with fondness.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In the year 1889, two women journalists separately embarked on a journey around the world and found themselves in a competition to break the world record for the fastest round-the-world journey. The novel 80 Days tells the story of this mesmerizing competition between two mesmerizing journalists, Nellie Bly and Elizabeth Bislin. Author Matthew Goodman creates a narrative history on the 28,000-mile quest that got the attention of the nation. KBIA's Tony Nochip sat down with Goodman while he was in Columbia recently. He began by asking Goodman what challenges he faced as a writer in telling this story.
Every book is different. Every book presents its own particular challenges. I would say that this one was challenging in the sense that it had two main characters. I wanted them to be equally interesting, equally compelling, because I knew right from the beginning that it was going to be alternating points of view, one chapter from Nellie Bly's point of view, one chapter from Elizabeth Bisland's point of view. And if, for instance, Elizabeth Bisland wasn't such an interesting character, then readers would just be skipping over her chapters to get back to the Nellie Bly story. So they needed to be equally compelling. And the challenge in that case was that a lot is known about Nellie Bly. There have been biographies written of her. She's fairly well known. About Elizabeth Bisland, nobody had ever written anything about Elizabeth Bisland. I'm the first person ever to write a book about Elizabeth Bisland. And in the beginning, when I really didn't know much about her, there was that great concern of what if she turns out, you know, to be the most boring woman alive? What am I going to do in that case? But it was very gratifying for me to find out little by little that she was indeed an equally compelling character, very different from Nellie Bly, but equally compelling, someone who had grown up in very difficult circumstances in Louisiana after the Civil War, grew up in poverty, taught herself to read, became a great poet, great lover of literature, just a beautiful writer.
What would be the main point that you would want readers to just take from this book that you've written?
I think that it was one of my prime purposes in writing this book to tell the story of these two remarkable women. Obviously, what they're doing, racing around the world, is exciting in and of itself. And, of course, the idea of a race is exciting. But each of them was a woman who was challenging this male-dominated industry of publishing in the late 19th century. Each of them were undertaking this event to go around the world by herself, was challenging the conventional notions of what a woman could do or what a woman could not do. So that was very daring. I hope that readers of today will know about them, will come to learn about them, and appreciate the challenges that they faced and were able to overcome as women in the Victorian era.
That's it for Off the Clock this week. I'm Janet Saidi. Have a great weekend.